once again for Open Court with Fairfield basketball coach Chris Casey. Along with the coach, I'm Bob Hueschler, joined by my broadcast partner, the former Fairfield great, the Hall of Famer Joe DeSantis. This is the season in review podcast. We discuss a successful year for the Stags, one of progress and promise. Stags improved by 9 wins over last season. Only Division I team in the country to start 4 freshmen in the majority of games. And a reminder that the player edition of Open Court this time around will feature Stags tri-captain Luke Davidson. He had his season cut short by a freak injury. His future, that is limitless, as you will hear by tuning into his story on the player edition of Open Court. All right, Chris, a lot to cover, and let's start by getting your overall take on the season. Fell short of the ultimate goal, which, of course, is always winning a MAC championship, but there was a lot to like along the way, and I was wondering how you would grade the season as we start off here, grade the season as a whole.
Yeah, I would say a couple things on that, Bob. Primarily, I would say exactly what I said in the post-game press conference after the Siena game. You know, everybody's trying to do the same thing. Like, we want to win a MAC championship. So you can't call the season a total success, you know, even with 21 wins and, you know, a good run in the second half of the year because you didn't reach that goal. So I wouldn't call it a total success, but I would call it a season with a number of successes in it. I thought we made great strides on both ends of the floor. I loved coaching these guys. I mean, I think, you know, our fans could see the camaraderie and the joy they played with and how much they played for each other. You know, in that post-game press conference after the St. Peter's win in the tournament, and I said this in the press conference, I literally in the last like 2 or 3 huddles didn't really have to say anything, you know, and, you know, what the guys were saying to each other kind of trumped what I was saying and didn't even need to say. So, you know, when you coach, you like to see that. You want to see guys be able to receive the message you're giving them and then carry it themselves. And that was really a lot of fun to watch in those timeouts. You know, so I'm excited about the future. You know, we're working right now to bring guys back. We've had a couple guys that have already announced that they're coming back. We had our first day of weightlifting today. We had everybody down there, which was great. So I'm really excited about the future. I had a blast coaching these guys this year, even though we didn't meet the ultimate goal. But I think we laid a good foundation to try to reach that goal off of this season.
You just mentioned a moment ago, there are already a couple of Stags that have said they're coming back. We're going to get into all of that in a few moments, but I wanted to just keep going with the MAC tournament. And specifically, you know, Siena ends up with what you had sought. They win the championship. They beat you in the semifinals to get there. Now, this is a Siena team that you had beaten only 9 days earlier and beaten them pretty convincingly here in Fairfield. So that particular night in Atlantic City, as you matched up against the eventual MAC champions, what did you see as, you know, the difference that night? What did they have that Fairfield will hopefully have as soon as next year when you get hopefully back to that same spot and maybe even one round further than that?
I think a couple things. I think they made shots early on, you know, and they shot the ball well the entire tournament. I would, you know, in some cases, you kind of like to have the day off in between, which we had, and they played the day before. I almost kind of wish we had played the next day because I felt like we were going pretty good. You know, they're a good team. You know, they're older guys like Doty and Schultz and, you know, the Coyle, they made shots. And, you know, I thought some of those shots were contested pretty well, and they still made them. And they got out a lead on us, and we were never able to close the gap entirely. I think, you know, midway through the second half, it was 5-4, like we were right there, but we just couldn't pass them. I thought we got a little bit impatient offensively, you know, and a little overzealous trying to get us all back, you know, in one possession when in reality you just need good possessions. But that wasn't through any selfishness. It was we had such a strong desire to win that game. You know, so I think those are the things that affected the game. And credit to them. The first thing I said in the press conference was credit to Siena. You know, I thought they played a really, really good game, and I think they're a very good team. And that kind of played out as they won the final and then, you know, took Duke right down to the wire.
Yeah, and ironically, as you said, they made shots against you. They made shots, three-pointers against Duke when they made an upset run against the top seed Duke. And this is a team that in the MAC was next to last in three-point percentage over the course of the season. Not a good three-point shooting team that shot it lights out when the lights were on. So, yeah, shot making was certainly one factor and hopefully something that is there for the Stags when you get back to that same situation. But you fell short, and that had to be a disappointing locker room after that Siena loss. What was your message in the immediate moments after that loss in the MAC semifinals?
Well, it's always disappointing for everybody, you know, because you put blood, sweat, and tears into it. And, you know, I always say, like, you know, our fan base is fantastic, and as great as they are, they don't fully realize how hard these young guys work, you know, and what's on their docket every day. You know, not just with basketball, but weightlifting, extra work they do in the gym, scouting reports, schoolwork, study hall. I mean, the list goes on. And so when you invest that much and it ends, you know, it's hard. And the thing about college basketball, and Joe, you know this from coaching, is when it does end in college basketball, it ends abruptly. You know, the car's going 100 miles an hour for a long time, and then all of a sudden it comes to a screeching halt. And that's difficult. So it was a disappointed locker room, you know, in the outcome, not in each other or not in individuals or not with, you know, the season, but just there was a disappointment in the outcome. And, you know, we talked about that in the locker room after the game, but we also pointed out successes, you know, and I said basically what I said after any loss: you got to make it sting for a little bit. And then you have to get back to work, you know, and you have to reflect on the season and some of your individual successes and your collective successes, take stock in those, and then get right back to work because, you know, the goal obviously is we're going right back there next year. We'll have a good team next year, and we'll make a run at winning it next year. So that was really the message afterwards, and it was kind of the floor was open for some of the players to speak, which a bunch of them did, and you know, it was a similar message from them.
Your quote before the season began was, so the things we wanted to improve upon for this season were overall size, athleticism, ability to rebound, and shot making. Defensively, we're going to pressure you and speed the game up. Offensively, we want to get up and down the court. And you also made the point that a couple of years ago, Fairfield led the conference in scoring in MAC games. So of that list I just laid out there, improve your ability to rebound, that was a resounding success. What about some of the other items on that checklist? Where did you hit and where do you think you missed and would need to revisit and make sure that is where you want it to be going into next season?
Yeah, well, you know, I think there were strides made in all those areas. I think rebounding probably the biggest area on both ends of the floor. You know, I thought what we did a good job of this year was creating extra possessions. We did it through defensive and offensive rebounding. We did it through limiting turnovers but turning the other team over. I thought we did a decent job with that. And I thought, by and large, you know, we did a good job of coming up with 50-50 balls and getting deflections, which helped us create some turnovers. So our offense at the end of the MAC season ended up being the fourth most efficient offense in the league. I would say the things that went well were not turning the ball over, getting offensive rebounds. I thought we took enough threes. Like the formula is generally, you know, 40% threes, 40% at the rim, 20% twos. You know, we were about 35% threes, but our two-point shooting was decent, not at the rim, but, you know, on the perimeter. I think the things we're going to have to get better at now with the group coming back was our finishing at the rim. That's got to improve. And then, obviously, we're losing Braden Sparks, so, you know, shoots the ball well. So, and we're going to have some guys that are going to make a jump and help us shoot the ball and make some threes. I thought we pressured decently defensively. If you look at our ability to create some turnovers, So we did a pretty good job with that. So I think, you know, by and large, we did most of the things we wanted to do. And now we have to continue doing them and doing them better, you know, because we want that to be our identity. We want to try to get after you defensively. We want to push the ball up and down the floor. I think we were fourth in the league in pace. I think we finished third in the league in scoring in the overall statistical categories. I think fourth in MAC play. Our free throw rate, that's the other thing. We got to improve our free throw rate, you know, and get to the foul. And if you look at us each game, we had a really good number of paint touches. And in general, not all the time, but, you know, in general, we won the paint touch battle. We didn't get enough conversions at the rim on those paint touches, and we didn't get to the foul line enough. So that's something that we have to improve on, and that'll be stressed.
Chris, we all know come crunch time, the games get harder and harder, and the tournament stuff. Your bench, you made an unbelievable decision, which I was a little concerned when you went with the four freshmen, especially in this era where everyone's 25 years old. That worked out great. I don't know what I'm asking, but would you do anything different with your bench? Well, did your bench show progress? How would you characterize their play? And again, what would you have done differently to maybe get more out of them?
Yeah, I might have tried to play them a little bit more. You know, when you reflect on it, I might have maybe gone to the bench a little bit more, you know, and tried to extend their minutes a little bit more. Now, the contrary to that, now the flip side of it is, you know, it put the freshmen on the court more minutes, which helped them develop and play well, you know. So there's a point counterpoint to all that. But if I were to look back on it, I would have maybe tried to play them some more minutes and extend those minutes to give them just a little bit more experience and maybe help us a little bit more in spots. When our bench was good, we played really well. When our bench didn't give us as much as we needed, I'm not saying we didn't play well, but it's a little more difficult to go and win.
You talked a lot about your offense. You actually, in the MAC, offensive rating, which is points over 100 possessions, you were number one offensively. Certainly the points were there frequently in big numbers for the Stags team. So I'm going the other way defensively. Your defensive rating last year to this year was markedly improved, 108.5 last season to 105.4 this season. So that's what the numbers say. What do you say about the improvement of this Fairfield team at the defensive end, and where do you want to eventually be that makes you comfortable in saying, okay, this is the kind of defensive team I want on the floor?
Yeah, I think we improved defensively. We took another step forward. I think a couple things there, Bob. I think our deflections improved, our activity on defense improved. I think our ability to turn teams over improved. Our defensive rating did improve. I think we ended up like right in the middle of the conference on KenPom in terms of defensive rating. And I think we did a good job of guarding without fouling. Like if you look at our free throw rate on the defensive, and we didn't send teams to the foul line a lot. We didn't get there enough to take advantage of that, but we didn't send them to the foul line. So, you know, I want to step forward in all those categories is what I want to do. You know, we hopefully retain a bunch of guys, and then we can pressure a little bit more, create some more turnovers. You know, with the four freshmen, there's a lot to learn when you step on the floor defensively, positioning, how to guard ball screens in particular. That's a big one. You know, taking scouting reports and understanding what you need to take away. So there's a lot there. And I thought those young guys got significantly better at it as the season went on. So, you know, the expectation now is there'll be carryover of that, which is going to improve our defense. And then, as always, you know, we want to create the extra possessions, defensive rebounds so you don't give the other team extra possessions, offensive rebound, deflections, steals so we turn them over, get 50-50 balls. You know, we that's paramount to us. You know, the techniques are important, but those things are the most important because that gives you a chance to be successful at the techniques.
And now we get into personnel, which most of our listeners are waiting to hear about. So let's start with the guys who have already said, and we're talking to you on March 24th. The guys have already said, coming back. That would be Butta Williams, your point guard, and Declan Walker-Fenwick. They've both announced they're returning. What were the conversations you had with them leading up to those respective decisions? And let's start it off with Budda. Answer that question about the conversations and what is his upside as a Fairfield Stag?
Yeah, before I get into those two guys and talk about that, I think, you know, the one thing I do want to say about this whole process of retaining guys is twofold. First, the university has done a great job with, you know, wanting to go that route and supporting that route with trying to retain guys and use a little bit more of a traditional model in the recruiting. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing I would say is, you know, I know everybody out there, including myself, wants this to happen a lot faster than it happens. Mm-hmm. But it's the world we live in now. So it takes a minute, you know, for things to be processed, things to be worked out, conversations to be had. So as much as we all want it to happen overnight, the reality is it doesn't happen that way. And the fact that it takes some time and it takes process isn't an indication either way that somebody's leaving and somebody's going. I know we all look into that and try to read into it, but it's not. So we've had good conversations with all our guys, you know, which I think is a positive for us. Now we have to make sure they lead in the right direction and work to do that, which we're doing. To go back to your question, Bob, with Tony, really excited to have Tony back. I mean, everybody saw his progress throughout the year, particularly in the second half of the year. He improved on both ends of the floor. He's fearless. He competes. And the thing I like most, if you watched him, if you isolated him on camera back in early December, you got very little vocal interaction from him on the court. And then if you watched him at the end of the year, the last month of the year, you saw him talking in huddles. You saw him talking on the court. So really, really happy with the strides he made in terms of leadership at that position. So very, very excited to have him back. And I think he's going to make a big jump. He already did the second half of the year, but he's going to make a big jump scoring the ball, handling the ball, leading, improving his physicality in the weight room. I think you're going to see a big jump out of him.
And now Declan.
Yeah, Declan, really, really excited to have him back too. And, you know, his motor's got to be one of the best in college basketball to me, if you watch him. Like, he's constantly going on both ends of the floor. If you watched him also, particularly on a defensive end, his engagement vocally just got better and better and better every week and right through the end of the season. If you watch him talk out situations on the court with Xing and ball screen coverages and things like that, outstanding. Obviously, he rebounds the ball for us. I want to see him make a jump there, get a couple more rebounds a game. Maybe he can average a double-double next year too. And then scoring-wise, you know, he's going to continue to improve finishing at the rim. His three-point shooting got better as the year went on, and he became pretty good at it. Now we want to have him make another jump where he can take a few more and make a few more and raise his percentage. And then leadership. You know, he's obviously going to be one of our main guys, and that's an entire package. So part of that package is being able to lead. He's already an everyday guy with his efforts. Now he's got to be an everyday guy with his leadership.
All right, you've already given us an idea of how you're going to handle this particular question by talking about the process. And we live in a world where everybody wants it now. But obviously, where I'm going here is the question about Brandon Benjamin, who not only had one of the best years of a freshman here at Fairfield, one of the best years ever for a player, period, at Fairfield. So the fans want him back. And as we speak to you on March 24th, what can you tell us? And you've already, as I said, given us an idea of, you know, just got to wait. But when may we hear some idea of when he's going to make a decision as to whether or not he's going to stay here as a Fairfield Stag?
Yeah, that's a tough one for me to give you a timeline on that. Bob, everybody has, you know, a process they're going to in terms of talking to their people and evaluating themselves, having conversations with us, with their teammates. There's a lot involved in it. You know, it's not as simple as waking up one day and saying, I'm staying, I'm going, you know. Brandon, obviously, we all want back like we do the rest of our guys. You know, they all play an important role for us. And you know, he knows we love him. and not just the basketball program, the entire university from the present down. President Down, he knows we all want him back. I do believe he had a great experience here on the court and off the court. You know, as coaches, we do the best we can to coach them hard but provide a good experience, you know, where they feel like they're making progress as young men and as basketball players and as students. And I think he got that. So, you know, there's all positive things. It's just it's going to be, you know, a waiting game. And we just have to go through the process. And, you know, you have to think about it in by putting yourself in his shoes. You know, he's a young man. He's created a situation for himself where he's going to have options and he has to weigh them. And that doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's like any of us looking at, you know, a major move and a new job. Like, there's a lot to think about there. Family members, salary. You know, do I move to this area of the country? Do I not move to this area of the country? How do my kids feel about it? There's a lot of things that are involved in it. So, and Brandon's been great. He's an open book and, you know, he's very easy to talk to about it. And quite frankly, like, you know, as we do with all our guys, we're not looking to hit him over the head every day and go, are you coming back? Are you coming back? Are you coming back? I think the best way to handle it is to just, you know, stress what we've done here and stress what we can do in the future and give him time and space to evaluate it. Because when he does make the decision, and we want him to make a decision that he feels 100% comfortable with, and, you know, we hope that the decision is to come back to us.
So you kind of answered what I wanted to ask you, but again, and by the way, the broadcasters want him back too. So
get in line. There's a
long line.
I haven't done this in a long time, but I remember when I recruited, there was a schedule. And essentially what you're doing now, even though you're giving him space, is you got to re-recruit him. You watch him play. You talk to him on the phone. You find out his contacts. You know, the whole thing. You have him come for a visit. You have alums talk to him. I want to know what you're doing. I what can you tell me? Like, you're giving him space, but there's got to be some type of schedule. Is there an assistant in charge of him? Are you reaching out? I hate using this word, but you're talking to his agent. Like, can you give me more specifics, like, with the process?
Yeah, I can give you a little bit, Joe. Like, you know, we're not just sitting on our hands and hoping he comes back.
Yeah,
we're really, you know, we've had meetings, not only with him, but with, you know, people that are involved with them. I'm not going to go into specifics there, but we've had those meetings. There's been multiple meetings with it. We carry on day-to-day business like we normally do when we're in season. You know, he's been in the gym working out with coaches and, you know, getting his shots up. He's been in there playing pickup with our team when they're playing pickup. And, you know, he's in there in the weight room working out with the team too, like all our guys are, you know. So with all our guys, we just kind of, you know, we've had meetings with all of them and whoever's involved with it. We've stressed what we've done well. We've gotten their thoughts and, you know, then we move. At some point, you got to move forward with business as usual. And, you know, again, I think what we lean on is we had a great season. We have a great group of guys. But what we're going to lean on with all of them is I think we've provided a pretty good experience for them. And that's important. And, you know, that there's a lot of value to that. So with all of them, we hope they take that into account when they make decisions.
All right. So you can tell me to get lost if you want. Is the AD meet with them? Does a president meet? Is there a recruiting process from people other than you guys?
Yeah, you know, the administration have had brief conversations with them, but not in a formal manner, you know, just more so, you know, to let them know how much they'd love to have them back. And, you know, myself and my assistants, particularly Taj Benning, those meetings have been a little bit more formal because they need to be. But, you know, there's nothing special that's going on. Like, we're not flying a blimp over the campus, you know, with his name in flashing lights. Like, you know, that's not what we're about, you know. So, you know, with all our guys, we just give them genuine honesty. We want them all back. And, you know, this is what we foresee with them in the future individually. And this is what we foresee with the team collectively bringing everybody back. And, you know, we lean on that and then hope for the best and then go business as usual day to day.
So we've talked about Tony Butter Williams.
But not to interrupt, but I'd never tell you to get lost, Joe, so don't worry about it.
Thank you.
I've been told to get lost, but I'd never tell you to get lost.
I wanted to just make sure – look, you've made it clear you want pretty much everybody back, but I just wanted to get the names out there. We've talked about Declan. We've talked about Tony Butter Williams, and we just had a long discussion about Brandon. There were three other first-year Stags, Halon Rollins, Eric Mejia, Nasir Rodriguez. So I guess the question would be, is there any reason to think that they are thinking about other possibilities? Or are you comfortable in thinking that they are happy here?
I think we're in a good spot, you know, with all those guys. You know, it's got to be formally announced, you know, and formally signed and et cetera. You know, there's other things involved with that. But I think we're in a good spot. You know, and again, I'm using the same phrase, but we'll proceed with business as usual, like we're in a good spot. Mm-hmm. They're great kids. I want them all back. You know, I loved coaching them, and I love what they did this year, and I think there's only a bright future for all of them, individually and collectively. So,
Deuce Turner is out of eligibility, and so is your leading scorer, Braden Sparks, one of your captains. And I wanted to bring him up because there was some thought out there that maybe he had another year of eligibility left because one of the years he played was at a junior college, and that created some confusion because there was a ruling back in the fall, and JUCO's had some eligibility, an extra year. As I said, a confusing matter in some instances with players who played some of their career at JUCO's. Doesn't apply to Braden. Maybe you can tell us why.
Yeah, can I get the compliance person in here for that, because I'm a little confused myself. You know, I know there was a ruling that one specific year of student athletes that attended junior college that year got that year back. I don't know, be honest with you, Bob, I don't know a lot about it. My understanding is the NCAA is not granting that. Unless it's a special case, like they've tried to wipe that off the docket, I'm assuming to not create more chaos in what's going on with, mm-hmm. you know, portals and people's rosters. So my understanding that it's not a possibility. I know the school has done a great job of looking into it and trying to get a handle on it, and they may have, you know, put in some documentation to try to really check on it, but the reports I'm getting back that's not going to happen.
Right. And Braden moves on after two great years as a Fairfield Stag.
He's been fantastic. Like, what that young man did this year, you know, from last year he was good for us. What he did from last year to this year, the way he changed his body and the determination that he worked with and played with, that was a pleasure to be around. Pleasure to be around. You know, I can't say enough good things. And if you go back, I mean, I don't have numbers in front of me. And Joe, you know better than me, and so would you, Bob. I mean, that's got to be one of the top 5 or 10 years a guard has had here at the university. He's been fantastic. I love that young man.
Joe talked about it all season long.
Many times. Yeah. I said it. Mm. He had a stretch where, you know, it looked like he was tiring 3-4 games. But for the most part, I thought he was the best guard in the league.
Yeah.
Ryan Zinn, didn't bring his name up yet. He was one of your NIL guys from last offseason. No reason to think that he's going elsewhere. He returns?
Yeah, he falls in the same category, just, you know, working on that. And, you know, that's all in process as it is with the other guys.
Okay. Final thing as far as personnel is concerned, unless I'm forgetting about somebody. Peyton Smith, Matt Curtis, Noah Best, all went through injuries this year. What's their status?
Yeah, all the same, in process, you know, trying to figure that out. The other part, like, you know, to realize time frame here. So when we did lose to Siena, that next week on the calendar was spring break. So now all those guys are gone for a week, and now you're into the next week before you can start the process. You know, so the timing of spring break actually kind of delays that process a week. Mm-hmm.
No. I didn't bring up Mike Rogan either. He's in the same category as the guys we just mentioned. But I did want to ask you specifically about Peyton because you've been involved in watching him try and rehab. How close is he to full basketball activities?
Well, he practiced at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, the last 3 weeks of the year, he was in practice. And, you know, the conversation with Peyton, I think there's a world of potential there. The conversation with Peyton is he needs to get himself in the best shape of his life coming into the summer. He's cleared to do so now from the injury. That's going to give him an opportunity to reach that potential because I think a lot of the injury stuff that he's had is because he hasn't gotten himself in the kind of shape he needs to. And that's I'm not talking out of school here because I've had that conversation directly with him, and he agrees with it. So, you know, I'm anxious to see him now make a change in his regimen to get himself in that kind of condition. And then when he does, I think we'll see a little bit more about what his potential actually is.
You getting good feelings from him, a good feedback as far as him willing to accept that challenge?
Yeah, he's a great kid. So, you know, but you and I know, Bob, like in any walk of life, and I don't say this to be negative to him because I do think he's going to be able to do it. Saying it and doing it are two different things. Right. You know, they're two different things. And that's, again, nothing I haven't said to him. But, you know, I do like the way he was moving those last 3 weeks of practice. I told him I almost felt like he was moving better than he was before he got the surgery because he did a lot of rehab on his lower body and his base. You know, because he had to with the injury, and he looked like he was moving better because of that. You know, you're playing lower, you're moving laterally a little bit better, your stop start is a little bit quicker, and I think a lot of it was because of the type of rehab he had to do to get to that.
Talking about a Fairfield big, and Joe just reminded me as I went down my list, I did leave off a big, a guy who definitely improved over the course of the season, Isaac Munkati. What do you see as the upside there?
Yeah, Isaac's got a huge upside. Like, you know, he kind of like in some ways, Joe, you would remember this name. You remember Carey Scurry?
Of course.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of that type, you know. Mm-hmm. And he really did finish up strong for us. And, you know, he's in process too, trying to get him back. Mm-hmm. But I think he's got another jump in him. Like he made a jump in the second half of the year and he's got another jump in him. So I'm really excited if we get him back because I think he's going to be very good for us. He did a good job really late in the season of protecting the rim for us too.
And you can see his confidence growing especially in the latter part of the season. Yeah. A few more housekeeping things here as we wrap up this one. The postseason awards, and of course it's important to everybody involved. In the long run, it's really what, you know, did you win or not? But the postseason awards mean a lot to a lot of people. And Braden and Brandon were both second-team All-MAC. Brandon, of course, was a MAC All-Rookie selection, as was Declan. Brandon did not finish as the Rookie of the Year. They went to Kaver Kennedy at Merrimack. So as I run down that list and talk about who got what, any reaction, any oversights there? Did any Stags maybe get the short end of the stick with those awards?
Yeah, I don't get into that stuff, Bob, you know. I was pleased that those guys were recognized, those three guys. You know, what level they were recognized at is not up to me. It's up to the coaches that vote for it. So I really don't have a view on somebody got robbed, somebody should have been higher. Like, I tend to not get into that kind of stuff. You know, I was really happy for those three guys, though, because they deserved recognition because of what they individually achieved. But the nice thing is if you talk to all three of them, they'll appreciate that recognition, but they're more about, you know, the team. And, you know, I think that's fantastic. And I mean, if you look at the year, I mean, I think Braden was player of the week twice. Deck was rookie of the week twice. Brandon, I think, was rookie of the week seven or eight times. Yeah. You know, so I think it's significant, you know, the recognition that those guys got.
You just mentioned about being about the team. So my question is, how hard is it to maintain team chemistry and that good vibe in this era of NIL? Every year the roster changes at the mid-major level, which was never really the case in the past. You brought back teams and pretty much kept them for 3 or 4 years. A lot different now. Hard is it? You had a great locker room from all accounts, from what you told us and from what all the players we've spoken to told us. But how hard is it to keep that going?
Yeah, I don't think you look at it as hard or easy. I think you do everything you can to keep everybody together. That's all you can do, you know. Like I said, yes, we haven't started our first official workout yesterday, and guys were in the gym playing pickup. And then today we started our first weight workout. We had everybody down there and, you know, had a good weight workout. So, you know, I think those are all positive signs. And if we have everybody back, I think, you know, we can get a jump start with everybody else who's fighting the roster issue, you know, because it'll give us, you know, this spring together. So, you know, I don't think there's one specific thing, Bob, that keeps that together. I think, you know, requires daily maintenance, and really it requires guys that are committed. You know, that it's I always say it's not what you do, it's how you do it, and most important, who you're doing it with. You know, and I think the guys we were doing it with this year really had high character. You know, what they dug themselves, I said this in our we had a meeting as soon as we got back, you know, to talk about what's going on going forward, and I said this in a meeting. The fact that those young guys dug themselves out of a hole twice. We started out 0-4 in the league, and we started out 3-6 in the league. And, you know, we had this conversation during the year. I felt like the way the schedule unfolded didn't quite match up with how our team, the stage that our team was in developing, you know. But I really felt it was going to flip and turn. And it did. And that's a credit to them, you know, to be in a hole like that twice and to fight your way out of it. That shows a lot of character, a lot of mental toughness, a lot of togetherness. And those are the primary things that you need to be good in any endeavor. You need skill, you need talent, you need those things. But if you don't have that base as a foundation where you're going to fight for it and you're going to fight for each other, the other stuff doesn't matter because you'll be up and down all over the place. And, you know, I thought that was really a credit to them. I didn't do that. The assistants didn't do it. They did it. And really a credit to their character, and it showed some mental toughness amongst them and unity amongst them. So I was really pleased with that, you know. So it's a long answer to your question, Bob. I don't know how you do that on a daily basis other than to just put your head down and keep working, and whoever's, you know, on the bus is on the bus.
Well, this group certainly liked itself. 10-4 over the last 14 regular season games. And Joe has to get going, so it's all on Joe. His final words is his final question here.
I used to look forward to this time of year as a coach because you actually got some downtime. Yeah, especially if you had a lot of returning players. But it seems like you don't have much downtime. Well, the good news is I can't remember the last time I read where someone was academically ineligible, so that's not going to be a problem for you. I'm curious, are you glued to the TV with March Madness, and who's your pick to win?
Yeah, I didn't make a pick, but I watched all the games, you know, and his team specifically that I like to watch. You know, I like to watch St. John's. You know, I love the way they get after it and play. You know, so I watch everything they do, and there's other teams I'll watch too. I more try to watch specific teams. I like to watch Nebraska. So I think Hoiberg runs some good stuff. Like, I like to watch what he's doing offensively. So there's games I'll pick out that I specifically want to watch. I like to watch UConn. I think they run some good stuff offensively. You know, so there are some teams I'll definitely watch to just try to, you know, enjoy the game, but also try to see if I can steal something. Tennessee's another team. Like, I love the way they play. They get after you. They rebound. You know, defensively, they're after you full court. You know, so there are teams I like to watch in those games.
Do you watch UConn women?
I don't.
They win every game by 50.
Yeah, it's you know, those first couple of rounds, like, I thought our ladies did a great job of battling Notre Dame. I watched that game. They played extremely hard in that game. And, you know, they were in the neighborhood, you know, and that's a really good team. And Notre Dame got a sixth seed, and they had one of their best players hurt for the majority of the year. And now that player comes back. So they're a sixth seed, but they're not really a sixth seed, you know.
As we saw, they just took Ohio State apart.
Yeah. So, you know, credit to our ladies. I thought they were great in that game. But, you're right, Joe. Some of those first-round games, you know, like the South Carolina score was great. Like, some of those first-round games can get out of hand sometimes. I did watch our women, but I haven't watched any of the other women's tournament.
By the way, for the record, I said 10-4 over the last 14 regular season games. It was 10-4 over the last 14 games before Siena. Turns out that you play the hot team in the MAC in your tournament. The women play the hot team in the NCAA tournament. So I think what I'm leading toward here is that the law of percentages is going to swing Fairfield's way eventually for the women and the men. And I'm happy to say this is not our last podcast, Chris. We have one more to go in mid-April as we put a bow on things for the season. And I know you're hoping for nothing but good things to be talking about when we hit mid-April. But you're always a positive guy. That's
one day at a time, Bob. One day at a time.
But you're always positive, and that's one of the reasons that this chemistry thing we were talking about is something that is maybe not as challenging as it might be in this era of a roster turnover.
I appreciate that, Bob.
So as always, thanks for the time. And as mentioned, this is not our final podcast. Our next edition will drop mid-April or so. It'll feature the Stags' all-time leading scorer, Tyler Nelson. He's going to join Chris and Joe and me. He is now the Stags' director of NIL operations and player relations. We'll speak with Tyler and Chris about the 2026-27 Fairfield roster, which very well could be finalized by then. Hopefully it will be. So we'll talk about the new Stags, the returning Stags, the goals for the offseason.
We'll have about 20 baseball games in by then, so we could talk Mets-Yankees, too.
We will. That'll be the bonus material on the next podcast. But there'll be plenty to talk about the next time we get together. So we'll look forward to having you then for the next edition of Open Court. So for Chris Casey, for Drew Kingsley, who patiently sat by and engineered both podcasts today, don't forget to tune into the player edition with Luke Davidson. We are going to put a wrap on things by saying that it's been a pleasure all season. Well, one to go with my longtime partner, the Hall of Famer, Joe DeSantis. I'm Bob Huesler. I want to thank you for listening to Open Court.